meeting to order. 1 o'clock. You can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And no public comments? Consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If we want discussion on any particular item, the item can be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner at this time. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
I second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Financial report. From the Hearthstone Group, Dennis?
Okay. You're going to talk about the financial statement for June 30, 2018. We're halfway through the current fiscal calendar year. And I'll spend part of my time today talking about things that are in the financial statement. As you recall, these financial statements are passive and do not reflect all of the non-cash assets of the court. And so, if we work our way through the statement, I'm going to do that. And it's part of that, we don't think that we'll fix that assets of the court, and we'll really need to evaluate the financial position and get it to take into account. So, that said, we have our compilation report, and we are going to look to audit the financial statements, what the state auditor audits the financial statements. Court, we determine quarterly financial statements that are compiled, and we work with one who does to make sure that the adjustments that we make are reflected in the book, because the auditor is this flavor that what we are being looking at is really reflected on the QuickBooks, your mental ledger of the court. Sometimes not on the broken records, it's good to re-emphasize in some way. Okay. Page 2, we have the balance sheet in cash basis. Report as of June 30, 2018. And as you look at the balance sheet here, we have $1,037,000 of total assets on page 2. And when you look down and look at cash basis liabilities, these are funds that have been collected for things like vehicle peptide tax that have not yet been remitted to the state of Washington. And we also have the fuel bonds that are available. You look down and see cash equity is about $30,000. And that's, again, cash assets less the cash liability. And of course, we did get the money when we took that bank essentially part of the loan. That was money to support businesses, so those are real cash basis liabilities. However, when I look at this, and Tim and I were briefly discussing this before the meeting, it's important to note that what we don't see on here are things that have happened within the past 12 months. For instance, the covered mortgage repair is about $1.3 million of cost that has been extended for testing the funds we're using for the borrowed money. Well, that's not showing up here. We do keep track of it, by the way, on the depreciation schedule. Also, the one that parked Boulevard across the project, i.e., the Boulder property, you've extended about $300,000 of money there that you will be reimbursed for. So again, we have a receivable that is reflected here on cash basis. And then we spend about $200,000 on the terminal for that transit, which is under construction right now, for passenger rental ferry. So if we look at the cash basis equity, yes, the cash is the equity that's changed, your cash balance is changed, $1 million. But because we do owe, we have a fuel loss payable to offset each other. So again, spending a little time explaining, yes, these are the accurate tax data statements, but that's the fact that they are, they're not what we call GAAP statements. They include all the assets of the business. Of course, GAAP being generally set in accounting principles for governmental entities, and you are, even though you're a government, when you prepare the GAAP data statement, it would look like private industry because you are essentially what we call the proprietary fund of government. So, not accountant talk on that. So, looking at the next page 16, that is the 6-year comparison of national expenditure revenues and expenditures compared to budget. And the first thing I would note is that the actual revenue is detailed on page 6. That compared to our budget, our revenues are really coming in quite closely to what was expected when you set the budget last October. And so when you look at the revenues, and especially when you look at the 6-month comparison year with last year, we do not have a operating problem at court. We are continuing to collect the mortgage, collect the property rentals, etc. So, and when I compare the actual versus budget, we're right on what we thought we had. Now, with regard to operating expenses, and again, I'll sound like a broken record every time you hear seeing every 3 months. The items in the, we do have operating expenses, $381,000 over budget, things that weren't budgeted. And in the far right column, items that aren't bracketed are those items that are over budget. And of course, we can account for the $381,000 of items over budget in that, and again, I count on the broken record, but it's the losses, $252,000, legal fees of $23,000, employee medical fees, and we can start all this, $18,000. And then the cost to dispose of the second passenger only ferry that we had to pay back the FDA in excess of the amount that we were able to sell the boat for of $79,000. Yeah, those all up, that's $372,000. So we understand why we're over our budget. And I know at the time we were proceeding to cost the budget a lawsuit judgment, etc. Because you don't know how long to use that side of it. Lawyers are creative and put down numbers and say we can catch the numbers in the future. So, then under non-operating revenues, those are also detailed on page 6, and those are a little bit under budget, and of course that's primarily because we're now paying some interest on the deal loan that I just spoke about that we need to finance the covered bond. So, you look down then at the net loss for the 6 months ended June 30th, $1,089,000. Again, that's paper statement. Well, that's the $372,000 that you spoke about for the unfavorable items. Plus, we spent $730,000 this year on capital assets. And again, as I spoke earlier, those shown as an expense on the income statement here, those are really assets that we will be able to see in Carter Borders, et cetera, Watson Park Boulevard, et cetera. So, we can't explain what the net loss is. Of course, if you go back and look at the budget net loss, it was also $720,000. Again, that difference being the lawsuit, the passenger only carrier settlement, etc. So, nothing really unexplainable here for unexpected. No one would ever expect, I guess, the lawsuit settlement, the lawsuit judgment, etc. However, certainly understandable why we had that period. Next page is comparing the month of June 2018 versus June 2017. And if you look at the under operating revenues, we're on page 4 right now. Everything is over budget. However, I talked at length in the past about that, and using tax data count on our inventory can sometimes lead to erroneous, that's what I'm going to do, the money coming in versus money going out on fuel sales, but we don't account for the inventory. So, you see a $15,000 loss on fuel sales. You haven't lost $15,000 because that doesn't account for the $60,000 of inventory that's sitting in the tank at that point. Your margin, as you will see year to date, on gas sales through June 30th, 15% essentially what we budget. So if you look at the prior page, you'll see that, oh, in a year we have $36,000 to go to margin on fuel, right, compared to budget of $39,000, very close to what was actually expected. So some of you get this monthly average, and because of when we write a check versus when we actually receive the fuel. So that's I'd like to point that out. Then, with regard to the expenditures, we do operating expenses. We actually less than the amount last year related mostly to purchase of capital assets. But I did want to just again point out under the purchase of capital assets, the 2018 amount for June, $167,000, about $230,000 laid on the page, left hand column. The terminal this month, $84,000, covered more than $20,000, and Watson Park Boulevard, $47,000. So again, you call them expenses on a cash basis, however, those are assets that are in fact being created. Mm-hmm. And they'll be reimbursed for essentially all the terminal costs and the older property, assuming that according to plan, it comes back. So, we can get up some time and good stuff on a cash basis here. Net loss for the month, $164,000, of which, of course, you can see $157,000, and spoke about capital assets. Add that back. Then, if you go to a real margin on fuel sales, the month about $15,000, you made money in the month. You probably would be getting gas savings and financial savings, you made money in the month. But we would add that to $157,000, you wouldn't have a loss in fuel sales, because of that, you would have a 15% margin. And I think the one who points out that it has been skewed is that having large fuel sales. We'll see that. So, then also the next page is comparing 6 months to this year versus 6 months last year. And again, at the top of the page here, we see our fuel sales and the positive amount again on page 5. However, compared to last year, and what I was saying earlier, we do not have an operation involved here at the port. You are continuing to lease the property, et cetera. You are essentially over 10% up on your revenue compared to last year. You're up $73,000. And then, when you just look at the expense side of things, yes, you are over budget. And I went through and highlighted all the large items in the right hand column, including sound limiter and ferry expense. This year versus last year. Again, we're just doing a two-year comparison. The lawsuits, of course, we had a lawsuit stuff in the judgment last year, too. There was $85,000 there. Purchase capital assets, $45,000. You can account for all of the variances, the major items, again. And so, we don't need to look at that, but we can do both. Down below, I think it's important to note that this year versus last year, our non-operating revenues are down by $10,000, and again, when we get back to page 8, you can see that, well, we have an interest now expense on the fuel bond that we didn't have before. So, nothing that jumps out at me when I review the file that isn't explainable. So, I don't want to underplay, we have been using our cash. And, you know, if we had borrowed the money, that you did for the covered mortgage, you would yes, in fact, be out of cash. But that you mean that was difficult to find out quite a long time ago, as a forecast of that. So, next page, page 6, we're just talking, we have now the schedule of revenues compared to budget for the 6 months ended June. We talked about that. I think it's important to note down 2/3 of the way down the page, dual sale. So it's being $233,000 of sales and cost $196,000, 15% margin year to date versus the budgeted amount. And so, anyhow, that's historically what I've been associated with for you. We've always stopped with a 10% to 15% margin on your fuel. And since you've seen you're selling a lot of fuel, you're obviously not over smart. Down below, we've got the 50% that timing issue compared to budget. So, again, up here, we talk about things are really complicated as expected compared to budget. The next page is simply comparing June 18 versus F-17 in the 1 month. This year was last year, and again, this year for the uptake, we see the anomaly on gas and diesel sales of -$15,000. That's the timing of the local gas for fuel that was sitting in the tank at the end of June. Other items, again, the interest expense you see on the bottom for the 1 month. Next page, 6 months this year versus 6 months last year, and then you're over budget a number of areas, particularly property rentals, also in user charges, actually in fuel sales. Your margin is up about $1,000 compared to last year. So when it's under budget, it's the interest expense, not budget, compared to last year, the interest expense we have this year $13,000 versus nothing last year. So unexpected there. Last thing is simply something that is how did we get from last month to this month. We look at the cash balance at the end of May, and we were bookkeeping with a cash balance of June, $164,000 or any cash investment that is interest $1,037,000. So as I say, it's been half the time when changes aren't on the statement. However, that's really what's going on out there. You walk down the course and we have a movement that's been approved. And the Washington Park Boulevard project.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions about this?
I wondered on this miscellaneous income in 2018 that's on page 5. I couldn't quite drill down to what that was, but that's something that's positive. Could that be the electronic sign part of that?
Yeah, from there, I've looked at that before.
From the
I'm going to take that before I'm going to have it on the file. Let's take that a little
bit. Yeah, okay. I was just curious. I mean, it's seemed quite significantly more.
Well, I'm really curious if you tell me what I was.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess.
It was somewhere. I'm sorry.
I've got some Michelle, a person that has caught a copy number of names for me here. Let me see that. And you can go ahead also. I don't, it looks to me like I might not have that. Here we go.
Leaderboard. Find it under property rentals on page 6.
Right.
Yeah, so that's not, that miscellaneous is something that I'm filing.
Oh, okay.
Let me take. And you can certainly continue to move.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Laura, do you have any more comments or questions?
No.
Please? So should we make sure that at some point along the way here, Dennis, you're able to jump back in and give the answer to that?
Okay.
Jim, did you have anything you wanted to add here?
At this point, Juanita and I are representing the Dennis, and particularly we want to talk to your organization about purchase of capital assets. And how we want to continue. We have a resolution that states we will put in so much capital asset purchases over the year. That amount exceeds our debt service on $1 million. So the question is, do we want to keep doing that, or do we want to reinvest that somewhere else? This is all a commission decision, obviously, and how we do that. But I'd like to know from you all about the ramifications of doing that. So I want you to repeat that decision. I'd like to chat with you about that.
Sure.
whatever. I just had to go on the invitation to ask her. She's on vacation. She has nothing else to do.
So I think that takes us into our discussion items. The first one being the commissioner goals for the second half of 2018. We came up with 15. Yeah. August, September, October, November, 5 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jim?
I pretty much compiled this list from our original list of goals and objectives that we have not completed yet, and things that we've talked about in our commissioner conversations about things we wanted to do. And obviously, we're not going to be able to do all 15 of these in 5 months. But I wanted to get a sense from the commission on what our priorities should be. What should be pushed a little bit for next year? What can we start on now? What can we do next year? What is a little too far and maybe we don't tackle it? So I'd like to go through each one of these and just talk a little bit about them and get your input on what we feel. So obviously, the upgrade to the passenger only ferry terminal is in process. The passenger waiting area will be finished by the end of next week, which is incredibly gorgeous. You may have noticed that you've been down to the port, the barge is now gone. It was taken out yesterday and went to Seattle. I will be going over to Falls tomorrow to take it out of dry dock for the morning. So I'll be over in Seattle in the morning for that. But in the process, not much going on. I do want to talk about the Falls work order in a little bit. The strategic planning process, I personally believe, is probably one of our number one priorities. With the new commission, we really need to sit down and say, what is our strategic plan? What are our goals? Once we determine what the commission's goals are, we can easily put that into our comprehensive scheme. But in my opinion, that's probably number one or number two on the list. Things we need to look down to what. Upland development, master plan for hilltop property planning, still struggling with that as far as what our direction is and how we need to move that forward. Mm-hmm. Any input the commission can give me on, is it a priority? How would you like me to move forward on that? Standard role for planning and community economic development is ongoing. You know, every day we're looking at ways to help that process along, and it'll be ongoing for the next 10 years. One that we had on there was the Railway Port Boundary Expansion to include Port Gamble. Still something I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
In talking to John Rose, he thinks it's a good idea, but maybe, you know, maybe February next year, we'll put it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I worry about in that next year is we'll have a commissioner up for election. We will have a port boundary adjustment out, and we possibly might have five commissioners on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be strategic in thinking about how that ballot gets written.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Three initiatives for the court should be a lot. The complete comprehensive rate study, I find the contract of Lacey has been incredible in getting information to Paul Sorensen. We sent him 100 documents, it seems like we sent him. He is working on kind of his brainstorming session within himself of how the process should be laid out. We will come back to you next week with the schedule. So you can see this is how we recommend the schedule be rolled out with public involvement, how that process will be worked. I still believe it's probably in everybody's best interest that we don't try to do anything as rate increases till January. So work the rest of the year and working this out, getting public input, and then have something during the budget adoption process in November that says this is what our new rate structure is going to be. So that would be my recommendation.
As part of the 2019 budget process.
Mm-hmm. which Juanita and I are actually starting on next month. So come August, we're going to start working on the budget. We should have something by the, I don't know if we'll have by the August meeting, but certainly the September meeting, you will have a draft from staff on what we believe should happen. And then we'll work on that for at least a month or 6 weeks before it goes out to public hearing.
Right.
The next one, everybody's really excited about Quisney. I think it's a great idea, a small boat facility. I wanted to share with you what I got in an email yesterday, which is very troubling, and Susan may already know about this. So, you all got this in your email, but I don't know if you had a chance to read it. WPCA. And basically, the National Marine Fisheries Service has decided to get involved in permitting. They've always had a peripheral role in permitting with the Corps of Engineers.
The Corps, yeah.
But now they are requiring formal consultation under ESA for maintenance. So if we go to replace a 2x6 whaler on a dock, we have to go to National Marine Fisheries. If this happens as this memo says, it will literally stop things. It will make them almost impossible to permit. Eric Johnson, our director of seminar, said that this could actually add a year's time to a permit that already takes years. So, read this. We are staying really close to this. The executive committee for WPCA is on Sunday. I'm going to be on a conference call on that. What we are actually thinking of sending people from the executive committee to Washington, D.C. With Pacific Northwest Waterways, which is the PNWA, we're really close with another organization. And I think WPCA and PNWA need to get together. Let people know that this is going to cripple our industry. I understand it for a big project. You know, if they're going to do a new marina, great. Get them in there and have them do a four-year thing. But when they start doing port maintenance, like next year, I want to budget to replace 23 tiles, which would be a very easy process today. But if this happens, we won't get it done next year. So, once you be aware of it, it will definitely impact the small boat facility should we want to move forward.
What's the upside of this? Why, what belief in avoiding environmental degradation is this trying to address? I don't know anybody who has a sense of that. She said looking over at Steve.
Well, there's always been a interesting nexus between National Marine Fisheries Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and all of their related responsibilities in relation to endangered species acts, and as well, not just National Marine Fisheries Service, but NOAA Fisheries as well, the National Ocean Transportation of Africa, Atmospheric Administration. And so all of those federal agencies have their own teeny little piece of a puzzle. And typically the Army Corps has been the wrangler, if you will, for those federal rules. And now it seems like NIMS is maybe taking on a little bit different pitch, if you will, in relation to permits. So, interesting.
Yeah, more to follow. We'll probably talk about it at the seminar.
Yeah,
so,
okay,
I'm sure Gary will be there. He'll probably want to talk to you all about it.
Yeah, okay.
And Gary is too.
Gary O'Keefe is our legislative WPCA.
Okay.
The right
environment.
Right. Okay. Anyway, we are.
So if they're saying maintenance, would it be part of normal maintenance that you would have through a shoreline extension permit, for instance, or it's not very clear?
As you read down, you'll see that they make these statements, but they don't define what those statements mean.
They also are not saying, is this just in the aquatic environment, or is it also in, you know, in the normal jurisdiction that the Army Corps would have in relation to higher high water and lower, or is this maintenance in the overall sense, all maintenance?
Mm-hmm.
Not very clear. That would be nice to have some further clarification, that's for sure. Oh, here, you've got Jerry here. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So, what I needed is to be back. That money is grant money that we received.
Yeah.
You just thought that
was $10,000 of it was up in Washington Park Boulevard. Yeah. And $5,000 of it was excess insurance, $5,000.
Right. Okay.
You can't bring everything
with you. Yeah. Thank you, though. Yeah. I was curious. It was different, but it was different.
Yeah.
I think that the small boat facility planning and permitting, again, a great idea. This is all part of the strategic plan we're talking about. And I think as we develop that strategic plan, if we want to change the focus of our business or alter that focus to more of a small boat environment, it would be a great place to continue that discussion. I just want to, I had a couple people that have found out about this that wants to know when it's going to be done, and I want to make sure that people know that this could be a couple year project.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Well, I think that kind of process would definitely involve things anyway. I mean, in a typical permit cycle, so.
Washington State Ferries holding a lot of Minbog, work continues on that. I know the Association Committee is going to meet on Friday, the Transportation Committee talk about that. Mary and I attended a meeting with the Highway 104 Working Group. Everything seems to be very positive and moving forward. We are trying at this point to schedule a meeting with Washington State Ferries, and that looks like it's going to be the first week in August, although I don't have a date yet. I'm right now, that's going to happen.
Can I just make a clarification here, though? The KCOC Transportation Subcommittee is specifically tasked with coming up with recommendations about what to do in the interim, steps that can be taken to improve traffic flow in the next 2 years while all this other magnificent stuff happens.
Yeah.
So it's Friday is the meeting is to look at how do we go about doing that? And part of that is to pull, the intention is to pull that out of the Limbaugh and the ongoing detour of traffic questions. And so that we can get something done and actually get something done and get something done. And I think I'm very heartened that we really sort of have three separate tracks at this point. Because they're really dealing with three different elements of of the problem. So I want to clarify.
I've thought of a potential very short-term solution to some of the problems, especially on the weekend, when State Patrol has left. And that's the fact that if you go all the way down to by Barber Cutoff Road, there is a lighted sign that directs people for the ferries to be on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And if there was another light up just past Limbaugh, say by our lighted sign for public noticing, right? The new sign. That would be kind of up there where it would have a similar light. Ferries in the shoulder, and local in the actual real live lane, so that it's clear that people in the ferry line waiting for the ferries should be over on the shoulder, so that we have a working downtown still. And I don't think that's easy to deal. I would imagine there's already, you know, the electrical connections, if you will, to tie into. Not sure what that might cost, but to me, a short-term solution to a huge problem where state patrol is gone, you just keep the lights lit.
The sad part about the one down on the Barber Cutoff is it's very old.
It's an old
sign. It's been there for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's not very visible.
Yeah.
Lucky for us, there are people that travel the ferry enough that know that they're supposed to get over on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get downtown, once they pass Limbaugh, they go insane.
Yeah.
We had three lanes coming into Kingston last week in front of where I work.
Yeah.
We couldn't even get out of our parking lot for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were blocking everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's a great idea.
Get another light there.
Another
like more clear
thing there and
just don't block. I mean, everything else says don't block. There are signs as you get into town that it's more difficult because, you know, they've got everything hashed out. You know, so it's like, well, where do I stop and start and all that? I mean, maybe there's a new striking that could occur potentially as well, but just a thought.
Yeah. If we get down into talking about those city things, I'll circle back.
State Patrol.
Because it's quite possible.
DOT,
They set up there's a $20,000 fund to use to implement things. Obviously, that's going to be a lot more than $20,000.
Yeah.
But it's also a standard and a piece of equipment that it may be that it's something the county would provide on an interim basis with the idea they could use it for all that we have used it also.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Next thing is regional stormwater facility within CG. Have you heard anything on that?
I haven't heard anything lately other than where is that? I attended a meeting at County Public Works regarding Washington Boulevard work, and they've been in communication with Mr. Lanning about potential with the building there and design elements, that type of thing. But also at that meeting, their consultant was talking about how Washington Boulevard is going to, you know, try to fit in with the potential recirculation of the town. One of the things they discussed was that if they get this lighting thing correct for Limbaugh and coming into town, they might be able to hold the lanes to only three lanes being needed coming in and out of the new ferry terminal. So that I found really interesting, that it would take up less space for sure. And what was the other? I'm trying to think of the other element that was discussed. Let's come back to that because I want to see if I brought that info with me or not.
So the three things we need to do, kind of, this is not an option, is develop the 2019 budget. The new HPA maintenance permit, which is a 5-year permit, and a county shoreline maintenance extension permit.
Yeah.
So those three things, after the end of October, we need to, we can't operate that three things. So,
And I see those as being kind of the same action, if you will, really. I mean, they're with two different agencies, if you will, but they're nexuses.
Well, we should have our HPA permit here, or at least draft, to submit in the next 30 days.
Okay.
And then we'll take that and augment it and submit that to the county.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Those are some big topics that we'll tackle here sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Mary wanted to put on there evaluating 3 versus 5 for the commission structure, so the common process and possible schedule. So with that, I contacted our attorney, Frank Schneller, who is putting together for you a table, if you will, of what has to happen. You know, do this, and do this, and do this. We talked about it at some length, and, the commissioners have to have a resolution and put it on the ballot, so that won't be until next November. What's interesting is you individually as commissioners can advocate for it, but staff can't do anything.
Oh, right.
Because we get paid.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything to do it, but you all can do it.
Yeah.
The court can't pay for yard signs, but you could get a third party to be friends with the court commission. They would pay for yard signs.
Okay.
So there are a lot of TV3 rules that you have to follow to do that. Talked to the director from Everett, and they tried it 3 times and failed all 3 times. Asking him why, he had a very good opinion on why, that no one should communicate what the benefit to the general population is. Mm-hmm. So you all need to be thinking about that. Going to 5 is not just to have another meeting with somebody. Is what benefit do you have to the voter? So it was an interesting comment on his part of why he thought it was successful. But, I think it was the right thought and forethought and how we could do this.
Uh-huh. Well, the whole quorum question is a matter of, I mean, it's so difficult. Even the simplest things where, you know, I was thinking, oh, like for the retreat, that was the commission meeting, and I thought, oh, now my wife is not going to go. So then I thought, oh, maybe we should all go together, and that's difficult. And I thought, okay, I've got, you know, just one to talk. That is difficult. Well, just little logistic things like that make it.
I hope they have a grid today, but it didn't come in yet. So as soon as I get that, I'll email it to you all so you can see what your interpretation is.
Yeah.
And two things. The one, when you said, so that makes it November, what November are you talking about and what were you saying? Could you say a little bit more about that?
It can't be this November because that's already passed, so it has to be next November. I don't know if you could do, if there's going to be a special election in February, that would be a question for the attorney.
Okay.
School districts normally have a February,
right,
ballot. Mm-hmm. So if there is one, you could possibly get on February, but if not, it would be next November.
Right. We've got to, have to see if that might fit in with the question about the 3 to 5, and would you also lock in Fort Campbell with that, right?
In your election.
In my election, too, would it want to be at that point. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to look to see when I would need to be putting my hat in the ring, if you will, for that.
The June election.
Yeah.
Next June.
Right.
So it might be a good thing for us to, as a commission, to come up with this first thing here, pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Jim's going to provide us with the process, and we kind of have an idea of the schedule. Maybe we should sit down, first of all, and see what our pros and cons are.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole, what benefits the voter, that's a very good point. What will be, if we choose to do this, what will be our tagline as to our reasoning for doing this?
Well, one of the things I see straight away would be that if we do provide a wider expanse of the court boundary, that we can look to those areas to see how would we redistrict, you know, with mapping exercises and things like that. But one thing for our existing locale, if you will, within our boundary, a current boundary, and how adding 2 more districts would expand, and where we draw new lines, if you will.
So that's what you said was interesting to me, is that three of you decide where those districts are.
Yeah.
I thought that really the county was involved in that.
No, I don't think the county.
As long as they're not at large, they have to be district.
Yes, right.
If they're at large, then the county does do it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, the other thing you told me that was pretty interesting is all five commission boards are 6-year terms.
Right.
And they're 6-year terms because if you don't, then you're going to have you could have a total turnover of commission to one election, maybe three commissioners up for election.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be 2, 2, and 3, or 2 and 3 if you did it that way. If you have to do it every year.
That's the offset 6-year term.
Because I said, give me a scenario on 5 commissioners, 4-year term.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I there's a lot of
the county commissioners are 4-year terms, and 2 are up in 1 year and 1 is up in the other. I mean, that's pretty normal kind of operation.
Yeah, right.
The other thing we should be aware of is that we could leave 3 within districts, representing districts, and 2 at large.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of possibilities in terms of how it could be done.
We have to, too, also think about if we choose to do this, the 2 who are the other ones, are they going to be like me, someone who also wants health insurance? And how much that's going to cost.
That expense of that,
yeah,
too.
The cost of their wage, their salary?
I mean, you look at a boundary expansion to also include, you know, those parcels that also would be contributing, so the offset some of that, you know. See, that's something else that we have to look at. For the base, you know, taxpayer, if you will, that would be the ratepayer that, you know, and then that's the other thing, too, to look at for Gamble is, you know, what by bringing in more people and more parcels, if you will, and the other thought was some of the landers, you know, these limited area, more intense rural development, those parcels are also industrial related lands that, you know, we are really lacking in here in Kingston. In our port boundary, it's sorely lacking. There's really not much industrial related land. And other ports have been very successful with helping, you know, you look at Port of Kamiskwa, Shugle, their industrial development is an economic boon to those areas, just phenomenal. So our ability to do that as well would be, I think, really beneficial to the population for our bottom line, which is providing jobs. So that's another thing to look at.
Laura, when are we talking about doing the commissioner retreat? The Kevin Ellis facilitated retreat?
Well, I'd like to talk to you about that because you have some questions on the show. So, we need to determine if there's someone else you would rather have in the retreat schedule.
What's the timing, though? That you're in
the
because it might be that we hold the pros and cons conversation.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, I'm sorry, continue.
Laura wanted to add the need to replace Marina Gate, so we have a discussion on
right.
We want to move that project forward.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of budgeted for it this year, but it's kind of been on hold because more discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was also about the location of the gate, whether it be up or down, or right. Yeah.
And then I added the last one, which is discussion on security events. So, you know, it's coming down in October, so we don't have to worry about it again until May, but at some point, I don't think that's going to last next year, so we need to make that determination.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that kind of a subsection of number 3?
I was thinking that, and I was actually also thinking then about what we talked about at one of our work sessions about Dickinson and that space, if you will, in relation to number three, the upland development,
yeah,
and the plan, and having that as a piece of the puzzle, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was something that was going to, if we came up with a way for it to be developed, then the tent would be obsolete for the next year.
Yeah, right.
Replacing it right away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty underutilized.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, we'd like to talk about these areas in depth more.
So I then was kind of re-reminding myself of thinking about this, and I didn't bring this, but one of the things if we want to go back to the regional stormwater facility, and one of the things that did come up is through their initial surveying, they felt that there may be a potential relocation of the stormwater outlet because of topography problems through the parking lot, and just where, you know, the, you know, if they had to redo a pipe, it would have to be a much larger pipe, and then where would that go? And thinking that they're looking into relocating it potentially over toward the top property, right? The hill property. On that side, potentially. One of the thoughts that we had about that, though, was, you know, we've got a circulation problem with the creek, and, you know, sediment from the creek, the sediment load and things like that. But if we had a stormwater outlet there, that the stormwater itself could flow back out that way and help to push sediment, a sediment load out and away from where we need to dredge. And it may actually be a savings in relation to where we need to dredge for the future. So that was something we discussed. But then there may be impacts to, you know, the boat launch and things like that, maybe on a temporary basis. But you know, in relation to timing of shoreline permits and things like that, we'd have to figure all that logistics out. But that was one of the thoughts that they had, because you then need to bring in the whole upland town portion. There'd be kind of two phases. What they're talking about would be a phase kind of here at the village green that could go out, and then another phase that would be on port property, where we would have, you know, several scores of acres, you know, 40, 50, 60 acres of area that the port should then clean and convey, and then this drainage would be this way to help flush, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. The only issue I have with that is you're taking marketable property off the tax roll, and the thing I love about going through the parking lot is there was no impact to the operation. Now all of a sudden you're taking $1 million piece of property, putting a stormwater facility on it. Decisions need to be made.
We'd have to see what the results were for, where it'd be, and I think it'd still be through the parking lot, you know, but it would just be, instead of going kind of straight through where it is now, you do a... They were just saying logistically that they weren't 100% on this initial survey of where it would go, but Phil Brock was working that through and was in that particular, with the Washington Boulevard, so that kind of came up in the whole conversation because of its water, yeah. Yeah.
There is one other that I would like to add to this, and I don't know that it's a Commissioner Gold. Well, it is, and it's really setting the scheduling process for your replacement, Jim. and we talked about when last we were at WCPA of inviting Pat Jones to come and do a workshop with us for a couple of hours,
mm-hmm.
and he suggested maybe we would talk instead to his partner, whose name I can't think of right now, but that basically we be thoughtful about what we're doing and not have it be sort of an ad hoc thing, because I think there are a lot of steps to it, because what you do is complex, and we need to make sure that we capture all that. Larry. So that was something that I'd like to see added for to do sometime this year. So I'm not hearing disagreement with the way you characterize these groupings, and but it might be worthwhile, if we're going to publish this somewhere, that we identify those that are necessary for ongoing operations, that are ongoing projects, that are sort of role issues, and then very specific projects, or something that captures the fact that some of these are not, they're non-negotiable, they just have to happen, and some have to do with
we can do that in a pretty simple sentence.
Yeah.
Two separate categories of how to do and explain to do.
Yeah. And, yeah. Okay. So, do we need an action to adopt these, or just as you have a few with
it? We'll get it to you, and then you can move.
That's because we're busily wickedly undermining the community, and they need to keep their eye upon us.
Who was that?
That was Bob. So the next item is the FOSS Maritime quote for the passenger ferry terminal.
So this is all passed through the stuff, and in effect we've already approved this with the lead and these expenditures because it's all going to the ferry terminal. But I wanted you to be aware of what's going on. Like I said, the barge left yesterday. The barge is the biggest area of concern for shipwreck transit. They want to make sure that it's done properly to their specification. So when we first did the quote for this, it was basically a $550,000 project. It was, I call it a shaving haircut. It was cleaning it, sandblasting it, cleaning it, putting it back in the water, and let's move on. Since then, they wanted a lot more improvements. So they've gotten an engineer, they've hired a CTF to come in and be their engineer. Who wants to make some improvements for that? So I wanted you to be aware that this is about $100,000 more than we originally thought. Kids that parents can find out on it, they fully understand that additional $100,000 is going to come out of their pocket, not of ours. Nor are we extending their lease. This is their deal, their grant. We'll be the path to make it. And this actually could go up another $100,000 because we don't know what we don't know. It's coming out of the water tomorrow morning, and it wasn't sinking, it wasn't leaking, but that doesn't mean the bottom's good. It hasn't been out in 10 years. So anyone that owns a boat knows when you pull a boat, it's like, hope it's okay down there. So we'll know more tomorrow. But I want you to be aware of what we're doing. This is the course we're working on right now, and I'll keep you apprised of any other changes. But I can tell you that having been to Bainbridge and Bremerton and most of the other Washington State ferry terminals, we will have probably the nicest ferry terminal in the state. And it is going to be beautiful. From the barge to the waiting area to everything.
Do you have any concerns about this that we need to know about?
No, I mean, this is the Cadillac. You know, the fendering, the thing, 6 foot high fendering on this thing, so the captain can come in at 10 knots if he needs to if it's windy, and he's not going to crash the boat. So it will be everything a captain wants. Pretty great. The good thing, and I don't know if you read the newspaper, I don't know if it's in the newspaper yet, is what people don't understand is this has to be strong. It has to withstand the current of the ferry system when a big ferry comes in.
Right.
Because the newspapers are already getting comments that, well, I could buy a barge for $1 million. Why are they putting $600,000? The barge we have will be different than a $1 million barge.
Yeah.
Number one, and just all the things we have to do that a normal barge would have, like allowing wheelchairs to board a boat, you know, making a barge ADA compliant is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are extra things that we always have to be thinking about, grades, how a wheelchair would get on a boat. So it's exciting. I mean, it's kind of fun to see it all come together.
Are you anticipating that there's an opportunity for, we're talking about ribbon cutting, ice cream social up at the park, to do the same sort of thing that the gerbil tube will need is clearly no longer a gerbil tube?
Mm-hmm. So I put Terry in touch with Fonty, and I said, you know, we're finally at a point now where the two communication people from both organizations get together and see how we can work together. So I think they have talked, but I think they're absolutely right. As this thing unfolds, we need to have more and more public awareness of what's going on. So the passenger waiting area, will be complete by the 10th of August. All the carpet will be done and everything. We could actually have a soft opening in that area out there. What same time do you want?
Invite them to follow the leader.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I just put her out there yesterday and I couldn't believe it. We get comments from people all the time. Well, what do you guys do from here?
I went out and stopped the other day with Jim and it was really, really nice on the inside.
Yeah.
All the clear coats done now, the electrical fixtures are in. Yeah.
Are there spots for people to plug their, you know, cell phones?
It was out there at the USB.
That's awesome.
There will be.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then we have extra wide cells so people can plug in and put their phone in the cell to hold it and then they have a dang room. I mean, we pretty much thought of everything in the design of this.
That's great.
That's all I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have an opportunity for citizen comment. You can address the commission anything related to court business, whether it's on the top agenda or not.
I just wanted you to know that some of us here, you guys put in a lot of time, and in my opinion, it's really not appreciated by the community.
Are you going to come to an ice cream social in August? Yes, personally.
August 15th, save the day. We're trying to make that happen. Wednesday, August 15th, it's 5:30.
That's the part.
I tried to stand in it and got a little wet.
The paddling lot, right?
You know, that's kind of floating around. I didn't know it. Turned up on my knees a week ago. And then it floated. Well, that's a long story. And then it told me it hit me on the altar.
Oh wow.
And I didn't really know.
Well, one comment I would make about the fact that there is no one here basically means that we're not doing anything that's angering anyone. Public agencies get audience when people are unhappy. It's a typical thing. It'd be wonderful if there were all people here cheering for us. But we love it when you come. So, thank you. So they all left. So commissioner report, Steve?
I kind of already touched on the interaction I had in relation to Washington Boulevard, and then a brief touch, if you will, on the idea of the sonar array. Now the only other thing that I was able to discover after our last work session, I did recall a previous public comment about the water fountain down at the little old water fountain at the grape shop.
Mike Chesmore
had brought that to our attention. He asked about it. Well, why isn't that thing working? Well, I went down there and I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to, maybe there's a panel I can look at or something to see if this thing works or not. But I thought, well, I'm just going to see how the thing works. And I stuck my foot on the little push pedal, if you will, to run the fountain. And I just kept my foot on it for quite a little while, and all of a sudden there comes the water came on. So the thing actually works. Now it doesn't pour the water out that I would put my mouth down there on the thing with water out of it, but and it is really cool. It is really cool.
Are you ready to put it in park?
Yeah,
For
sure. Yeah. So we'll do a little more discovery on that. See if I can drill down to, well, first, whose right of way is it located, and then we'll have an idea of, but it's pretty old. I mean, it's a casting, if you will. It's a cast iron fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool. I have some photos of it, and I have a photo of it as well. A video, so it's pretty cool. It's, you know where the great shop is?
Yeah.
Okay, in front of the crate shop, there's a couple little umbrella stands that are by Watson Boulevard. And it's right in the right of way.
Right on there. 2 feet tall?
Right there on the concrete is all.
Right there, yeah.
I just stepped on that before, nothing
changed. Yeah, I just set my foot on it.
It worked today, 3 months later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's really neat. Let's see. I have anything else? I don't think I have anything else.
What's he saying?
Yeah.
Well, so Jim and I had a really good meeting with two of the Kiwanis, Dave Weather and Diane Tandy Guerrero came, and Jim very eloquently talked to them about our meeting that we had with Cole Medina and the donors,
mm-hmm.
and I think he did a really, like I said, it was very eloquent, because it was, when I talked to the Kiwanians, some were a little bit upset that, you know, it wasn't going to be named after them, or the possibility that it wasn't going to be named after them, but Diane and Dave, I think, both understood kind of where we were coming from, and that it ultimately was not the port's decision, according to the paperwork we found, that it was the North Kitsap Foundation. But yet the North Kitsap Foundation was being very amicable to whatever the donor wanted.
Kitsap Community Foundation?
Yes, okay. Thank you. Kitsap Community Foundation. And that the donor was asking that her father's name be put on a plaque somewhere in the park, possibly on a bench or on the gazebo, or I don't think it's been decided really but they're going to present to the Kiwanians probably this week, telling them, you know, that we'd like to partner with them and see how it goes. We'll see what their response is. Do you have something to add to that?
No, I think it was really good. One of their ideas was a great idea. They would build a big chair to put up there, and they would have a prominent Kiwanian logo on both sides of it. Maybe they can have some presence up there as a sponsor or something. I thought it was good.
The organization of the Kiwanians is very state-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so they were really interested in the fact that we also would, maybe in phase two, be creating some sort of a whale tail or some sort of a...
Oh, right, yeah.
Jim showed us pictures of a whale seat. It was a tail of a whale that was, a kid was laying on it, and it was coming up out of the ground. It was really beautiful. And so they were really interested in that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just, you know, one step at a time.
Cool. Who's presenting to them? Are you presenting to them?
No. Dave and Diane are going back with what they got out of our conversation, and we'll be talking to them.
Good. Okay. Then the report that I would make is really focused on the transportation committees and the fact that the North Kitsap ACAC is trying to figure out how to effectively identify the right set of actions to do. And with the right, they were originally tasked, as far as they understand, with making sure that everybody that's involved with transportation issues in Kingston knows what's going on, what everyone else is doing. And so this adds a very tangible overlay to that, or extension. And I think it's going to be kind of tricky, but I think it'll work, and I'll keep reporting back to what it comes up with, and Jim is part of that committee as well.
So. Oh, did they invite you to that? Oh, good. Oh, excellent.
So, and so that's going down that way. Lindbaugh's going down this way.
Yeah.
I, at this point, am not particularly involved with the long-term component, but I think there are good people who are and are continuing to work with that. Dave Letter being a key player. That's my report. Staff comments. Nancy.
I really do not have that much time. I've been working on the working with the Dr. Manny at Papa. We just fixed our storage over at Viable to a bigger one, a little bit bigger one. Yeah, where we can get in the shelving and the boxes. And so that's moved over, and so I'm just continuing to work on that. I'm reorganizing, we're going through all every file. Put in the right places. I will be applying for a record stamp later through the end of this month. So I'm also working on that, all of our justifications, the plan, and then I'm working with Steve as well on the plan and the cost and things like that to provide to the state. And then I'm also working on updating the policy. Last month, we updated the record retention policy. This I need to look at updating the public records request policy because there's been some changes as far as price goes for copies, things like that. So I need to look through, see what the updates were last year with the state, and then we'll be providing that to you, I hope, next month.
Where is this new storage place in King State?
Oh, it's the same storage place.
Oh, same, okay.
You moved up to a better, so called, it was an 8 by 15, kind of 10 by 10. So now you're an 8 by 15. It's also better access, so we don't have to go inside of a building.
So it's one of the garage outside.
Yeah, it's part of this one up.
Which has storage in it.
So it's a lot better access.
That's good, yeah.
I think that's, I mean, there's a lot more to do, but that's the
So, Jim?
Yeah, I need to update you on it. Obviously, next Tuesday, you all are going to come on for the NCDA Commission conversation. And then on the 31st, I'm out on vacation. So, 2 weeks without a conversation.
So, is that obvious? A work session for an event?
I found out today. I apologize. I will email you guys.
Okay.
Better calendar.
I should be using cell phone range and we'll figure out an email with the
But I was asking if you change it for longer, which might be good, did you charge people a whole lot more to go back into those rooms?
So
why did you say that from one couple of years ago?
Well, there are some things that you stay longer that we don't need to, like historical pictures, historical drawings. We could actually get rid of those in 7 years, but we don't want to. We'll save them for 50 years.
But when it comes to emails and all that kind of stuff, I mean, there's a lot of reasons you don't want to stay with for that many years. But if you did, it takes a lot of allowance. You say, okay, it's going to cost you $50, but, you know, to make it really important to want to get those things. The important thing about it is that the first phase is in its public, and it's causing problems.
Right, so there's different prices, but it means there's actual cost, so we could go through, but it would require a study of us and an actual cost. So what most government agencies do is they just take their standard cost for things. Now, there are different things that can be rolled over to the person asking if we have to have a special, who's the person that went through our records before? So if they're having to go really deep to find something, then that actual cost could be passed on. But for the most part, it's smart for agencies to destroy the records per the schedule from the state, unless it's for things like Jim said, we might have a personal historic measure value on something, a little kind of in the state that will be.
Anything else? So our next regular meeting is August 22nd, Wednesday, same time, same place. And do you need a motion to adjourn? Can you just say it's adjourned? We're adjourned. We do need a motion. Okay, so is there a motion to adjourn?
I would so move if we
adjourn.
Second. Oh, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I'm going to go to the next one.
we have things to do. We have to find. And
we have things to find.
Not very much time. We can do more for that.
Awesome.
So here's
the... It's a no work session on the 31st.